Vision. This is one primary topic which is directly related to healing. Seeing is in one of the definitions of God by Mary Baker Eddy, wherein she states, this is page 587, Science and Health, God is the great I Am, all-knowing, all-seeing. She states elsewhere that seeing is spiritual perception. In a letter that she wrote to one of her students, she asks the question, are you able to focus no matter what comes your way? In another letter that is attributed to her, she states that the secret to healing is to get yourself out of the way, and all day long, one must check themselves to make sure that they are only thinking about and searching for good, for perfection. There's also a number of quotations that what one sees is an indication of what one is. In other words, what one is what one will see. When Bliss Knapp was a young boy, accompanying his father, Ira Knapp, who was meeting with Mary Baker Eddy, and while he was waiting outside the room where Mary Baker Eddy and Ira Knapp were talking, she had given him a fan, and it was later revealed that the reason was for him to get an appreciation that the fan represented separation. Like the second day of creation stated in the Bible in Genesis 1, where it talks about the firmament. And the firmament was a separation that was in the early part of the development of thought. Spirit is the synonymous term for God that represents separation. And there it's clear that it means separating spirit from matter. So the function of seeing and the cultivation of seeing in order to have proper vision is directly related to successful healing. Christ Jesus is quoted in the Bible as saying, ye have eyes and see not. In Matthew 16, Jesus is quoted as saying that when you see a red sky at night, you indicate it will be fair weather. But when you see red sky in the morning, you indicate it is a sign of foul weather. And he says, O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? It seems that he was referring to understanding that they needed to discern the difference between reality, which is of a spiritual foundation, versus unreality, which is based on matter. In another definition of God, which is in Science and Health, the chapter on recapitulation, page 465, she states that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Genesis 1 states that man is made in the image and after the likeness of God. Based on the fact that God is incorporeal, not a body, not a person, not a man or a woman, but that God is incorporeal, without body. In other words, God, in order to be eternal, omnipresent, all in all, meaning all source and all manifestation, he could not be corporeal. Therefore, every quality about God must be and is incorporeal. So the quality of seeing is not and cannot be based on so-called material organs. Spiritual perception cannot be based on anything that is corporeal. One would not even know how to separate matter from spirit if they're thinking on the level of matter, for they would not be able to even conceive of there being anything such as spirit. In the definition referred to previously from the glossary about God being the great I Am, Mary Baker Eddy states that he is also all-knowing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. She states elsewhere that God is omniscience, and omniscience includes wisdom, knowing, and intelligence. As a reflection of God, as it states in Genesis, man is made in the image and after the likeness of God. That means that when the image and likeness is doing any looking, they better be doing it in an intelligent, wise, and knowing manner. What does knowing mean? It seems that it is stating that we must know what we are going to be looking at, the manner, the atmosphere. Are we looking at it from a material basis or from reality, which is clearly stated by Mary Baker Eddy, that is a spiritual basis? In fact, under the definition of soul, she states that soul represents senses, and also that spirit is the only substance, therefore the only senses are spiritual senses. So not only seeing should be done from a spiritual standpoint, looking through the lens of spirit and not through a lens of so-called matter, therefore seeing and the spiritual senses are so directly related to healing that if one tries to ignore it, it's hard to imagine how healing could be accomplished. In Science and Health, page 403, under the title Heirs, Power, Imaginary, Mary Baker Eddy states, you command the situation if you understand that mortal existence is a state of self-deception and not the truth of being. Mortal mind is constantly producing on mortal body the results of false opinions, and it will continue to do so until mortal error is deprived of its imaginary powers by truth, which sweeps away the gossamer web of mortal illusion. Mary Baker Eddy states on page 248 of Science and Health, one marvels that a friend can ever seem less than beautiful. If we think about chapter 3 of Science and Health, titled Marriage, the spiritual view, translation, really means our marriage to the Christ consciousness. If we think about the Christ consciousness being our very best friend, and that we are married to that consciousness, that level of atmosphere, where we're looking through the lens of spirit continuously, then we must see everything unlike that as a state of consciousness or thought to be the opposite of what is beautiful. Therefore, we cannot be trapped if we keep this line of thought. We can never be trapped into the self-deception that was referred to in the prior quote about error's power imaginary and it being like a gossamer web. In other words, a web that is very fine that you can't see it, but it will catch everything. So in order to see the nothingness of that web and realize that it is a fabrication of thought, and not a single bit of it includes any substance, in other words, spirit, that which is flawless, transparent, and therefore total reflection, then we realize that we must pierce that veil with the facts of truth, of real being. And that is truth with a capital T. As stated previously, are we going to focus on the truth and on truth no matter what comes our way? Here's some more text from that same letter, the one to her student entitled Vision. There is only one mind, but there seems to be two. One is the reflection of the other. The divine mind is the one, and the other is only the human sense of the divine. One may call them the mind of the spirit and the mind of the flesh, the objective and the subjective, and the conscious and the subconscious, the one that knows and the one that thinks. When you gain an understanding of the principle of sight and think of your eyes without fear, doubt, or anxiety as improving or being perfect, that thought sinks into your inner consciousness and becomes part of your real self. And you do not think it, you know it. For, quote, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Another quote referred to previously, which was from Science and Health 476, where it states that Jesus beheld in science the perfect man who appeared to him where sinning mortal man appears to mortals. There's a comment by Stamp and Moss, who did the beautiful job on translating the parables of Jesus, and they refer to that as follows. He traded with true vision to exchange the objects of sense for the ideas of soul. And the result was that this correct view of man healed the sick. And they're quoting from Science and Health. Directly in line with this, and also the letter The Secret, where Mary Baker Eddy stated her most effective healings were when she got Mary out of the way and only focused on the perfect man all day long. Perfect God and perfect man. And she said she paused in her work several times a day to do this. Well, there's a quote from the Bible that's very apropos from Habakkuk. It says, "Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction." Directly related to that verse is the one about Mary Baker Eddy stating that one of the most important duties of a student of Christian Science is to utilize rectitude, self-correction. And that's what Habakkuk says about God. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. And the next verse, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? So humility opens the door to the Christ consciousness. And Hosea says, ye are not my people, ye are the sons of the living God. In referring to real vision versus a material sense, 1 Corinthians has a quote that is directly related. It says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So if we're going to rely on material sight, we're not going to be able to see what God has already set before us. Psalms states that God hath prepared a table before us. We're going to miss the whole table unless we're looking through that lens of spirit, let alone the contents on the table. All the goodies which come forth from the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. In Unity of Good, under the topic soul, Mary Baker Eddy states, soul must be God, since we learn soul only as we learn God by spiritualization. As the five senses take no cognizance of soul, so they take no cognizance of God. Whatever cannot be taken in by mortal mind, by human reflection, reason, or belief, must be the unfathomable mind, which eye hath not seen nor ear heard. Soul stands in this relation to every hypothesis as to its human character. And here's a quote from Miscellaneous Writings, Chapter 9, entitled Science and Philosophy. It states, truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways in the future, and behold the dim unknown. Standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. That's a poem by Lowell. Here's a quote from Gilbert Carpenter in the book that he wrote entitled 500 Watching Points. He was an assistant secretary for part of the time where he was a resident of Pleasant View. So this is watching point number 32. Watch, lest in your denial of the existence of matter, you accept the impression that you are denying something that exists externally to you. The term matter covers not what you see, but the way you see it. In denying matter, you are really denying the way mortal mind sees the true heaven and earth that already exists here and now in all their perfection. You will surely see this perfection the moment your dual eyes are opened, the moment you rise out of the mesmerism of mortal belief. A picture of great beauty may appear a dab on an unenlightened novice. Once the veil of ignorance is lifted, however, by study and practice, the beauty of the picture is appreciated. God, as the great master painter, created the universe in all its perfection. Mortals fail to see it only because of their standpoint of ignorance and materiality. All things appear to be blue to the one wearing blue glasses. John Dorley stated that we must translate every vision. Everything we see, our vision, is a state of thought. And of course, years before that, Frederick Rawson, this was some 3 or 4 decades before John Dorley made his statement, and Mr. Dorley stated, "There is nothing but God. God is all there is." He was one of the greatest healers next to Mary Baker Eddy. And he was the one that had such an understanding of those statements that when he and a friend were viewing out a window, this was back in the early 1900s, probably in the neighborhood of 1910 or so, when the automobile and truck were not the primary vehicles for commercial transportation of industrial materials and so forth. He and a friend were viewing out a window with a street view, and there was a man that was driving a cart full of rocks. And it was drawn by one of the popular animals. I don't believe they mentioned whether it was a horse or an oxen or whatever it was. But in any event, he felt a need right in front of the window where Mr. Rawson and his friend were standing. He felt a need to stop and examine something in the back of the cart full of rocks. And as he was examining the back end of the cart, there was something that alarmed the animal, some loud noise or something that alarmed the animal. And the animal raised up and emptied the entire cart full of rocks on this man that was driving the cart. He was totally covered up with the rocks. And Mr. Rawson and his friend noticed this, of course, and Mr. Rawson said with a clear consciousness and state of conviction, obviously, there is nothing but God. And as soon as he stated that, the man jumped up through the rocks like a rocket coming out, totally unharmed. He had such a clear understanding of exactly what that meant that when he stated it, those that were in his atmosphere of thought, which obviously this gentleman was that was driving the cart, that they are affected by that atmosphere of thought. And in this case, the man was instantly healed of any possible injury because he came up without a scratch on him. Mr. Rawson was asked one time to explain a Bible verse, and it was about the body. And so he was led to treat his thought about exactly what the various parts of the body really meant as symbols of spiritual ideas. He ended up writing a book entitled Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. And in that book, there are approximately 200 pages, which is in alphabetical order. It serves as an encyclopedia of what exactly does the various parts of the body and ailments, how they can be healed through understanding by gaining the correct view of the functions of the body, the spiritual view. And for example, for eyes and vision, he has it broken down into probably 8 or 10 different categories of beliefs that seem to be various problems that may occur with eyes or vision or seeing. So it is suggested that anyone interested in that area or any other area from A to Z to take a look at that reference. Mr. Rawson is also the one that demonstrated how to heal retroactively. That means heal in such a complete manner that the healing would effectively take place as soon as the thought was open to seek his assistance in healing. And this had nothing to do with him being aware that there was someone seeking his assistance. For he would find out about the need after the fact. But the healing would be effective previous to him knowing that there was even a need. And he performed hundreds and hundreds of healings that were retroactive. This is explained in the book just mentioned, and also another fine reference that he wrote, very, very comprehensive, called Life Understood. That's only part of the title, but both books are available for free in PDF format and to view on the website. Which means that if one has any kind of portable device, as long as they have internet connectivity, they can view it no matter where they are, paragraph at a time. Another very interesting reference regarding eyes and seeing and vision is an article entitled The Psychologist and the Magician. That's a study in story form by Ernest Rodwick, written in 1920. I will read just the introductory paragraph by Herbert Eustace. He wrote in 1950 when this article of 1920 was republished. Dear fellow scientists, you, as a Christian Scientist, or indeed as any thoughtful man or woman, will find the accompanying story of vital interest, although there is nothing of pure Christian Science in it. Jesus used parables to illustrate special points in his teaching of pure Christianity, and this story should be taken as a parable which illustrates perfectly the fact that hypnotic suggestion cannot deceive a mind which has fortified itself with the truth about any fact or circumstance which presents itself negatively. In this account of Professor Hermann von Schultz's research into hypnotism, the point is brought out that he resisted every effort of the Hindu hypnotist to deceive him, as long as the suggestions came as abnormalities, as startling and unusual experiences, but was tempted to yield to the suggestions of normal hunger and thirst. To the professor, normal matter was real, even though he had fortified himself against believing in any unusual manifestations which the Hindu adept might appear to conjure. It has been 75 years since Science and Health was given to the world in 1875 with its thunderous message, quote, "There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all." Do you, as a Christian Scientist, believe this? Do you accept what you call normal matter as real and then attempt to abolish abnormal matter, as Professor von Schultz was almost tricked into doing? In Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy declares, quote, "Animal magnetism or hypnotism is the specific term for error or mortal mind." This means, of course, the entirety of mortal belief, whether it presents itself as so-called normal or abnormal. Anything calling itself material is an hypnotic illusion, the product of animal magnetism operating as malicious minds. Its effects can be nullified only by the realization that divine mind is the one and only mind, and that this mind embraces within itself all manifestation. Hence, normality, all perfection. Basically, you understand that you are dealing alone with God every instant, and that this dealing, humanly interpreted or translated in the language of the negation, appears as dealing with, quote, animal magnetism or hypnotism. Then how essential, as Paul said, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." That was a quote. Is it not being dead to continue to be in darkness to what is really in belief operating as the enemy of mankind, hypnotic suggestion? Is not the light to awaken one from this dead, the Christ? The truth that man, as the activity of God, is ever awake to all good, and especially to understanding the subtlety of direction by malicious minds as the negation of direction by divine mind. Very sincerely yours, Herbert W. Eustace. The Psychologist and the Magician, a Psychological Study in Story Form. And then the story begins. The complete article is available for free from the website. I believe it's available in both PDF and audio, and that's free. Mr. Winslow was another very fine practitioner, known for his instantaneous healings. His practice spanned around 3 decades or so. The culmination of his work was published in 4 books called Let God Do It, God Can Do It, God Will Do It, and God Is Doing It. There are between 21 and 36 articles in each book, each one being a complete topic, and includes the best that one could read in the way of articles. He is a genius writer, very easy to read, good for the elementary as well as the totally advanced CS student. They are written in parable format, very impersonal, and they are interlaced with some very significant healings from anything that is like a common problem up to and including one which was awakening one that sleepeth, that was experiencing the belief of death. One of his articles in God Can Do It is entitled The Vision of the Real Man. The entire article is excellent, but one key thought that will be reiterated here is a quote from Solomon, which is included in the article, which says, to be carnally minded, in other words, where there is no vision, is death. The people perish. And he added, but to be spiritually minded, in other words, to have the vision of the Christ, or to have spiritual consciousness, is life and peace, which Solomon left for us to deduce, a simple enough deduction. For if where there is no vision, the people perish, conversely, where there is vision, the people live. And the following are a few words near the end of the article, which includes, after certain phrases, the interpolation by Mr. Winslow. Behold, I show you a mystery. In other words, behold, I show you something which had heretofore been mysterious to you. We shall not all sleep. In other words, die. But we shall all be changed, healed. Think of the wondrous statement, we shall all be healed. every one of us in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. In other words, when we may have reached the very limits of human endurance. For the trumpet shall sound. In other words, the voice of the Christ shall be heard, or the vision shall come to us. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible. In other words, those buried in the very depths of the carnal mind shall be raised into spiritual consciousness, or shall have the vision of the Christ. And we shall be changed, healed. And why? Because God can do it. As a quick summary about eyes and seeing and vision, he notes in three articles on malpractice in three of the four books that are published with his articles that what I think is my only concern. Am I accepting only angel messages from God to form my thought, speech, and action? This is the end on the topic of eyes, seeing, and vision.